Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We thank you for being with us today. We want you to go to the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll and give President Trump a grade so far. A lot of people with a lot of hot opinions right now about everything that's going on. So you can join us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel to do that. We just wrapped up a conversation with Jim Carafano from the Heritage Foundation about the immigration efforts that the president has made to try to deport people, to take the worst of the worst, put them on a plane, send them to El Salvador in prisons. And we have a lot of legal questions surrounding that. The Supreme Court has just made another ruling on that. And we're not legal experts, so we go to our favorite legal experts to break it down for us. Andy McCarthy back on the Annie Fry Show, contributing editor at National Review, also the host of the McCarthy Report and a Fox News contributor. Andy, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Annie, great to be with you.
What can you tell us about the Supreme Court ruling on the deportations of these alleged gang members to these El Salvadoran prisons? What's the latest update on that?
Well, the court issued a ruling last night that was widely described as a 5-4 ruling. I actually think it was 9-0 on the important thing, which was the question of due process of law. Everybody on the court held that the aliens that we're talking about are entitled to their day in court. Now, it's important because of the climate out there, Annie, that I stress what I mean by this. It means that they get to go to court, just like the people I used to prosecute went to court. Doesn't mean they get to win. I think in the end, Trump is still going to be able to send most of these people to some form of detention. I think the detention that they've chosen in El Salvador is problematic on a number of ways, but you know that's a kind of a down the road issue. The first order issue is, can you do this? And the answer is yes, but you have to give them notice before you put them on a plane and send them to a third country, and an opportunity to present their objection to it, mainly to object to the finding that they are members of Tren de Aragua or MS-13. Where the court was divided 5-4 is what form the lawsuit has to take. What the majority ended up finding was that the suit has to be brought in habeas corpus, which essentially means you have to bring the suit in the place where the person is detained. And in this instance, that would have been the Southern District of Texas. The other side, the four justices who went the other way, sided with Judge Boasberg and with the panel of the District of Columbia Circuit, which included two Republican appointees, by the way, that you could bring the action under the Administrative Procedure Act, which means they could file their lawsuit in Washington and join all of the aliens together. It looks now like they'll have to bring individual lawsuits in the places where they're detained, but the bottom line is still the same. They have due process rights. It's just a matter of what's the technical form of the lawsuit.
Okay. Andy McCarthy with us right now. Not being a legal mind and always being grateful that we get to borrow yours for 10 minutes or so, I'm always trying to comb out the tangles of these legal situations. I'm glad you explained the habeas corpus thing, because I've heard habeas probably a dozen times today without an explanation that follows. And so I appreciate that bold-faced definition there while you're describing that. Would it have been different in your mind if Donald Trump would have done what he have done but detained them in the United States?
It would have been different in the sense that the big practical problem, of course, is once you take people out of the United States, they're beyond the writ of the federal courts. So, you know, a federal judge doesn't have any power to tell the government of El Salvador to do anything. So if you've successfully gotten them out of the country, this is an issue that came up a lot after 9/11 when our military actions took place. And in fact, when the Bush administration decided to use Guantanamo Bay as a detention camp, one of the reasons it did that was because there was a lot of case law for the proposition that that was in Cuban sovereignty and outside the jurisdiction of the courts. The courts ended up saying that because the government had de facto jurisdiction over Gitmo, the people who were captured there could challenge their detention in the federal courts. And I think similarly, the courts are going to end up finding that because the Trump administration's arrangement with El Salvador is that in a year's time, our government will decide what happens to these prisoners. I think the courts will say we still have control over them, and therefore the litigation can be brought here. But I don't mean to give a long-winded lawyer's answer to your question.
No, please.
To give a pointed answer to your question, if Trump had basically scooped people up and put them all, say, in one city or state in the United States, there would still be questions about whether he could do that, but there would be it wouldn't be a big deal because the federal courts would be operating wherever he brought them. Mm-hmm. So they could bring whatever challenges, including habeas corpus, that were appropriate under the circumstances.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is refreshing!
The thing is, if you take them out of the country, and particularly if you take them out of the country in a way that you lose control over them, what happens then? Because then a court really doesn't have any authority to tell a third country what to do.
We're speaking with Andy McCarthy, former chief assistant, United States attorney, contributing editor at National Review and Fox News contributor. So Andy, we know what happened when Trump sent off this first plane and sent it to El Salvador. The next go around, the next flight of people that he wants to amass, what is going to be different now the next time he wants to do this compared to this last time?
Well, Annie, it's always going to depend on what is the authority he's citing for being able to do it. So, for example, they sent 261 people in one fell swoop, right? But not all 261 were sent for the same reason. So the first two planes, as I understand it, that went had a lot or maybe all of these Venezuelan aliens who he was citing as alien enemies under the 1798 Alien Enemy Act. And those people have a right to challenge in court whether they are properly designated as alien enemies, which for our purposes really means are they really members of Tren de Aragua. Then there was a third plane where what the administration says is those are people who were processed under the ordinary immigration laws. And what that means is if they were, for example, if they were illegal aliens and they claimed, you know, they made an asylum claim and it turned out that they didn't prove that they had a legitimate fear of persecution, they can be deported. There's an order of removal that gets ordered by the immigration court. And if there's an order of removal, then they can take them out of the country. So there's no legal problem. I think there could be a big problem with those people if it turns out something bad happens to them in the Salvadoran jail, and we're responsible for that. But as far as deporting them is concerned, if you've got an order of removal and you're an illegal alien and we find a country that will take you, we can send you.
Okay. And just real quick, you know, a lot of people question, you said it was in your mind 9-0 on the due process part of that ruling. Is there any difference that a citizen of the United States of America has access to due process? Is there any difference between what a citizen experiences and what an illegal alien experiences?
It always depends on the context, because due process always depends on the context, right? So for, just to give you a simple example, let's say an illegal alien robs a bank, right, and gets arrested for robbing the bank. If you indict him for bank robbery, the government has to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt, just like they would if it was an American citizen who robbed the bank, because in our country, all criminal proceedings are under the criminal standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. On the other hand, an American citizen can't be arrested for being present in the country because obviously your presence is lawful, whereas an illegal immigrant can, and you don't get the same quality of due process as a criminal defendant would get in criminal proceedings. So basically, if the government, and it doesn't necessarily even have to get to a judicial court, if the government can prove that you're in the country illegally, which is usually pretty easy to prove, and that you don't have a basis to apply to stay, you came in illegally, and you may claim that you're afraid of persecution or you're seeking asylum, but that's a high bar. You're going to get an opportunity to prove that, but it's not going to be as elaborate as the opportunity a criminal defendant gets in our courts when they're charged with a crime. So everything always depends on context. What the Supreme Court has basically said, and I think this is what you're looking for, what the Supreme Court has said since around 1953 in a case called Eisentrager, but they've said this a number of times, as the alien comes into our community and grows ties with the United States. So in other words, however you come in, let's say you get a work visa, and then you get a student visa, and then you apply for an adjustment of status up to become a lawful permanent resident, and we give you a green card. What the court says is, as you go along that ascending scale of rights, your due process expectations get higher. They don't equal that of a citizen, unless you're in a context where, like the criminal law, where the government always has to prove things beyond a reasonable doubt, no matter who is the defendant. But a lawful permanent resident alien, say a green card holder, has a lot more due process expectation than, say, an illegal alien, and even more than an alien who is outside the United States who's trying to come in but has never been here before.
Andy McCarthy, this is Ryan Wiggins. When a Supreme Court case comes down like this or decision comes down like this, I'm always looking to see who's claiming that they won. You know, is the right saying, "Oh, this is a terrible decision," and these people don't know what they're doing, or is it vice versa? But last night, I couldn't really make a lot out of it. I couldn't figure out who was saying they won. So I guess my question for you is, was there a clear winner in this 5-4 Supreme Court case?
Well, Ryan, I think that due process won, but I do agree with you that it's very hard to decipher who gets to put this in the W column.
Yeah.
Because for two reasons. One is, you know, Trump went out and claimed victory. And I have to say, you know, as a baseball fan, I think that, you know, if Trump scored a run in the top of the first, he'd claim victory. You know, you would say there's 8 more innings to play, he would claim victory. So, you know, you have to sort of take that with a grain of salt. And then I think the other reason it was hard to tell who won is, even though the court was, to my mind, 9-0 on the important thing, but they were 5-4 on the procedural thing about, like, do you have to bring habeas or can you go under the Administrative Procedures Act? The dissent was so strident on that point that it made you think that this must have been like a crushing loss. You know, a lot of the rhetoric in, and look, I understand why Justice Sotomayor is whipped up. I mean, you know, the administration took 261 people who even it now says had a right to file habeas corpus and to challenge their deportation, and they deported them. They put them on planes. They didn't bring it to court. They brought them out of the country, and they put them in a place that's actually been condemned by our own State Department. So the dissenters are very whipped up about this, but I think the fact that they're whipped up belies the importance of the thing that divides the court, which is, to me, a technical procedural matter of how you bring the lawsuit. And it obscured the fact that on the big constitutional issue, which is due process, they actually spoke with one voice.
Well, Andy McCarthy, we're very grateful for your time. I know we've only got like a minute left with you. Right before we came on with you, there was a news article that just got released about the Supreme Court today siding with the Trump administration from Fox News, saying they upheld the mass firings of tens of thousands of probationary federal employees, granting a request for an emergency administrative stay on a lower court order blocking the firings. I wasn't sure if you had a chance to review that or if you had any comments.
Yeah, I did. It's a very short opinion, and I'm sure based on our conversation that we just had that President Trump will be out claiming victory. But what the court said, basically 7-2, is that the people who brought the claim on the basis of which the judge issued that injunction against the government, they didn't have standing. So that's the reason they lose. The court didn't reach the merits. And what we're all concerned about is the merits, right? The question anyone would be concerned about this issue, which is there's about three, four million people work for the executive branch. Does the president have the authority to terminate them? That's the thing we want to know, right? But what the court says here is that the people who brought this lawsuit, which were basically interest groups, didn't have enough skin in the game to have standing. And that means they had to vacate the injunction. But what it means, there's no decision on the merits. So what's going to happen eventually is people who actually have standing, like fired federal employees, will bring a lawsuit, and then maybe we'll get to the bottom of what we're all interested in. But for now, these are just like sort of procedural zigs and zags, which I know, I mean, they get me going because I'm a sort of a nerdy person that way, and this is what I do for. But I can certainly understand why it's frustrating to people that they, you know, it's a head scratcher because you say, like, why can't we just get an answer on this simple question? Does the president have the authority to fire these people or not?
So what I hear you saying is massive Trump administration victory.
Victory.
Victory is
on all fronts. You don't see me here, but I have the two V signs. I have both hands up with the V signs.
That's wonderful. Andy McCarthy, thank you for your time today. We're always asking you to come back, and we always appreciate what you have to offer. Thanks for your time.
It was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. I don't know. It's not a loss. Because, Lord, I mean, Andy's right. Like, Trump's way of claiming victory, he's going to claim it anytime he thinks he can. I think he should. It's politics. He's a politician. He needs to politic well. So I have no problem with it. But in the converse, if there's even a sniff of a loss for the Trump administration, what do?
I mean, they're going to yell just as loud.
Yeah, louder probably. Because they're going to, well, I don't know. They don't really have the media anymore. They kind of lost.
It's interesting. You know, one of the things that he said there that I'd never heard before, that's why you have him on, is because you share stuff like this, is that there's a gradient to due process. That if you've been in the country for a while, there's more due process for you. And that's a weird interpretation of law to me.
I think I like to hear what Andy McCarthy has to say on these things because he has never been a Trump sycophant on anything. And if you're like, he just referred to himself as a nerd on these things. As a non-legal mind, I want Donald Trump to push the envelope as far as he possibly can with legal standing. I don't care if it's a law from, you know, 1800, whatever it is. Like, you got to do what you got to do. If it's within the confines of the law, do it. If it gets challenged, win in court. I appreciate that. But I would think that people who are of, you know, a higher educated legal mind want to make sure, even if you support Trump, you want to make sure he's going about these things the smart legal way. Because I don't think you can surmise from somebody like Andy McCarthy or another person who's maybe not 100% on board with the sound legal process that President Trump used with the El Salvador thing, that if he thinks that the legal grounds to do it are shaky, I don't think you can therefore correlate that Andy McCarthy wants illegals here. I think that that McCarthy could still say, no, I want every gangbanger, rapist, trafficker, drug lord illegal immigrant that's in the United States gone. But he's still going to stand by, you have to do it legally. Like, you can't say that if you're scratching your head on Donald Trump's legal proceedings, if you're saying, I don't know if this is as sound as it needs to be, I see people say in turn that they think, well, maybe he just wants him to be here. Like, it's not that simple. You can't only follow the rule of law. I mean, we're supposed to be the rule of law people.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people on the left. I mean, this Judge Boasberg has made a name for himself basically being that guy who leads with politics, and then he finds justification for it in the law somehow. That's not Andy McCarthy. McCarthy is strictly, I mean, he even said he's kind of a nerd about the law. He's like, well, what's the precedent? What's it been? And he's not somebody who leads with the conclusion first. He actually, that's why he's a good guest, is because he leads with what history has said legally about this topic first.
And
he'll go to the mat for it.
If there's any legal gray area, Trump's going to get called on it. So,
and Trump will find it.
Yeah. No, I'm saying if there's any question about what he implements from the left, they're going to go find the judge in the district that's going to make it possible. All right, we're way past time here. Grade President Trump, A, B, slash, C, D, or F. We need about 70 votes to get to 300 here before the 2 o'clock hour. We'll take some phone calls if we do. Hustle up to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AnnieFry. And grade President Trump, A, B, slash, D, or B, slash, C, D, or F. You can let us know what you think. Grimey says, interesting return on the polls. I guess he's seen the results. He said, surprised that some Trump supporters are thinking logically. There seems to be hope. Better go get in there and vote. We'll be right back. The way you hold me,
hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!